Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second.
Hey, everybody. I hope September is off to a great start. If you are a new listener to Backseat Rider, I drive for Lyft, but Lyft does not sponsor this podcast, has nothing to do with the conversations you are about to hear in this show. But like every other Lyft driver, I get a promo code, and every week I ask people to sign up for Lyft using my promo code, which is Backseat Rider, all one word, just the name of this podcast. And it is good for $50 in free ride credit for any new users of the Lyft app, and it also helps me keep this podcast alive. Again, when you sign up for Lyft, just punch in the code Backseat Rider into the payment tab. $50 in ride credit for you. And thank you so much to the 23 people who did this during the month of August.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com presentation.
Here in Chicago, this past week was the first week back to school. And safe to say, we all remember what it felt like on that first day back, right? That feeling of being back in a familiar place and seeing all those faces that are also familiar, but have at the same time subtly changed over the summer.
The cafeteria, the chapel, seeing who's on your chapel row and
to see which one I can make my girlfriend, you know, but
I don't know, I had like the, this is dumb, like the butterflies, like the, I don't know, like I guess like nervous anticipation.
Excitement to know what my classmates did within that time we were apart.
Like I just remember I always wanted to be reborn and like be a whole different person. But
the overall feeling of being back in school after a summer off, it's pretty easy to remember. But what about specific memories about a particular first day back?
I was coming down the hallway and he was in the doorway where the ROTC instructor's offices were.
And why those memories stand out years later.
And he was coming out of the doorway and he stopped and he looked at me.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Backseat Rider, the podcast where I drive Lyft and whoever ends up in the backseat of my car becomes the cast of this show. And I want to kick off this week with a 28-year-old guy. And I picked him up on Belmont, right by the Red Line stop. And he was only a few blocks away from his apartment, but his bike had just broken down and he needed to get back home really quickly to grab a spare part.
It became my home, you know, living there for three quarters out of the year.
Was it all guys?
All guys.
He's talking about the boarding school that he went to in Tennessee for all 4 years of high school. His family is from North Carolina.
Why'd you go to boarding school, out of curiosity? That's kind of unique.
My brother and sister are way older than I am. And so I was essentially like the only child at home. And I love my parents to death, but my father was the CEO of a major real estate company in North Carolina. Always just busy. My mother just, you know, like, I felt like I, in a way, like, I wasn't a burden, but I felt like I was much less of a burden. And I could do, I personally, not having a brother or a sister there at home, and knowing that I would have 28 other 30 up to 30 people in a dorm, it was just like spending the night over every night, you know?
So it was a voluntary decision. Your parents didn't like ship you off to boarding school or whatever.
No.
This school sounded like it was really prestigious. His dad was the CEO of a big real estate firm in North Carolina. And his most vivid first day back memory had to do with the school's iconic chapel. And more specifically, finding out who was in his chapel row, which was a really big deal.
So you got assigned a pew, and you just, you know, like, you got to do this the rest of the year. So you hope that you got somebody you like beside you, you know, hopefully not like a dickhead senior, or senior sat at the end, and then juniors in front of them, or beside them, and then sophomores and freshmen in the middle. So every year you're like getting closer and closer to the outside. Everything is hierarchy at this school.
Yeah. Was that organized like kind of off the books by the students? Was that just tradition or was that like
a tradition? It used to be a military school, dropped the military part back in the 70s. and just stayed as all guys school.
Says he loved the overall camaraderie at the school, but like all the rest of us, there were classmates that he was more excited to see on that first day than others.
I hung out with like some older people. You know, being a boarding student, you have all different ages or classes. There's a guy named... He was a good guy. He was just like a bigger older brother, but he beat the shit out of me. I was never looking forward to the poundings, you know? Like, I'm just like, damn it. Like, I know I'm going to get my ass beat at some point this semester. and then there was a guy in his grade that was smaller than him, but just as tough. His name was... And he was 2 years older than I was. And he was kind of like that mentor that I was always like, that's who I want to be. Smart as a whistle. I mean, he's just great guy, ladies guy, mm-hmm. you know, lifted and everything. And then my other good friend, Jamila, from, he was born in Nigeria, but he got a lottery ticket out of there and was living in Dallas, Texas. You know, those two, I think just seeing those two all the time, or getting to see those two and catch up.
Right, because you wouldn't see them over the summer.
Right, yeah. So. Yeah.
So you have really, it sounds like you got really good memories from that high school.
I do. It definitely created a strong backbone for me.
That first guy's high school experience sounded pretty idyllic. He had a lot of close friends. He said the campus was beautiful. He played lacrosse all 4 years. And he wasn't the only one I drove this week with really positive associations with the first day back to school.
September is like my favorite month because of that nostalgic feeling for back to school. So for me, I just always remember getting my little lunchbox every year for school and then getting dropped off at elementary school. And just lining up outside, ready to go in, and just seeing all my friends from the previous year.
She's 24 years old. She does marketing work for a startup company. And her most vivid memory about going back to school was getting all those fresh school supplies.
Art was always my favorite subject growing up, so getting a fresh pack of crayons or colored pencils and markers was my favorite. And then like a pencil case to put them all in.
For me, those new school supplies, they were always nice to have. But they always cued a bit of anxiety, and it was the academic kind of anxiety, like, oh, I got to do this all over again. And for this next passenger, the first day back cued a much bigger kind of anxiety.
So I was like, you know, I got to find a job. So I went out, find a job. I'll grab any job. I'll do anything, you know, as long as it's a job I get paid at the end, I'll do it.
This passenger is 21 years old now, and he works inventory at a local grocery store. I picked him up from work. It was around noon that day, and he had just gotten done with a 12-hour overnight shift.
So you had to get up at midnight for your job?
Yeah, because it was inventory. This week is inventory week, so first we have to do the vendor inventory, and then the whole sales floor and backroom inventory, which is today.
Oh my gosh, so you just pulled a 12-hour shift.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Oh my gosh, do you have to do that a lot?
Most of the time, yeah.
For him, the most vivid first day back to high school was his sophomore year at a city high school on the north side of Chicago. And that day he was excited to see his friends, and he remembers being in line with them right outside the auditorium for first day orientation.
It was pretty fun because we were just, you know, standing in line, a big group of friends who were goofing around, doing stupid, funny things.
But that same day also meant the day that he had to start juggling school and his job washing dishes.
I always pick work over my life, you know. Like, I was working at the time. I was a dishwasher, and by every chance I have, I would just, like, if they call me in, I would be like, okay, yeah, I'll grab that shift. Why not, you know? So I never really have time for myself and all that.
Because you were washing dishes?
Yeah.
to make money, even as a sophomore in high school?
Yeah.
Where'd you wash dishes?
It's a rooftop bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they let 18-year-olds work there?
Yeah, it was like a rooftop bar / dining area.
Yeah.
They say as long as I have a parent permission, I was allowed to work there.
And so what made you need to work? Is your it was one of those things where you needed spending cash?
Or
were you supporting your family?
Helping my mom out, because when I was younger, my dad passed away. So it was just my mom working and my two older sister. But I felt like it wasn't enough, you know? Like, what happened if we one day just automatically just my mom, my sister lost their job, you know? What happened? Because my mom does commission, she does nails. And then my sister have good jobs, but like, you never know, you know? Like, what happened if something just shut down or something happened? So I would just worry my biggest fear would be like living under the bridge, you know? Like, not having a roof over, not having food, not having clothes, you know?
He's hung on to some of his high school friendships in the 3 years since he graduated, but he didn't speak of the kind of camaraderie that my boarding school passenger did.
Did other kids your age work? Did that set you apart at all?
Yeah, my friends, we all work together. Not together, but like we all work, but they work the same as me. We do dishwashing, but different restaurants. That's why like we only hang out once a week. Still till this day, we if anything's less, like we text and Snapchat, but we don't hang out that much anymore because of work wise, because we all got full time.
Yeah.
So other than that, we see each other like I'll say once a month. But hey, as long as we stick together close, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like the very, very first day, I remember it was very early.
I'm gonna call this passenger Denise. And Denise just turned 30 years old and she also went to a city school. But hers was on the south side, which is much worse than the north side in terms of gangs and violent crime. And Denise lived far enough away from her high school that her wake up for her first day back freshman year was early.
We go to the bus stop. It's like sun's not even up yet.
And her commute was long.
School started at 8, but we had to be there at 7. So I woke up at 5 a.m., like crisp Dickies. I don't know if anybody remembers those, the Dickie uniform pants, crisp little gold polo, my little book bag, all my crisp new paper and fancy pens and school supplies, and my K-Swiss.
Denise had signed up for ROTC, and later that same morning, she has this vivid memory, and it involves a faculty member that seemed to be older than the others at the high school.
I was coming down the hallway, and he was in a doorway where the ROTC instructor's offices were, and he was coming out of the doorway, and he stopped, and he looked at me, and he's just like, I'm looking at him, I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, I mean, my ID is on, my shirt's tucked in, what's up, like, what, you know, like, where am I, he's about to yell at me, because they yelled at us, but I thought I was, like, am I in trouble, and he just, like, looked at me for a second, and I'm looking at him, like, who is this guy, like, what, because he's really tall, he's, you know, dark skinned, just, he had, like, crisp, you know, Class B army uniform, beret. And he just like, he stood there, he put his hand, he's like, God, dog, like, you look just like your granddaddy. And I'm like, you know my granddaddy?
Turns out that man had served with her grandfather in Vietnam. And now he was in charge of all the ROTC students at the high school and had been expecting Denise that first day.
Well, yeah, I mean, if somebody you don't know walks up to you and tells you that you look like one of your relatives, like, how do you know my relatives and I don't know who you are? So that kind of sticks with you.
The man had stayed in touch all these years with her grandfather, who at that point lived in Florida.
You know, he was aware of a lot of what was happening at home.
And for Denise, a lot was happening at home.
Well, I was raised primarily by my grandmother. My father was not in the picture. It was at the time, it was me and four other siblings. I'm the second oldest. My brother is a year and a half older than me. And then after me, like there's a 5-year gap between me and the next sister. And then two siblings after her, those three are all 2 years apart.
Okay.
So they're a lot closer in age than me and my brother are. But like I grew up, my mom was a drug addict. I didn't know until like maybe I was like 8 or 9 in second grade, and I was like, oh, what's that? I don't know what that means. but I mean, just like when you look at things in hindsight and retrospect, I was like, oh, okay, so this is what that behavior was. Like, she was always very quiet. I'm like, you sound funny. Like, when people are high, like, you have this like funny voice when you high and you sleep a lot, and then you're not here and then you're gone, you know.
What drug was she addicted to?
Crack cocaine.
Oh my gosh.
And it was something else. I can't remember what the other one was, but crack cocaine was the main drug.
Uh-huh.
So And it's interesting because when I was younger, she was in, I remember my mom being in college when me and my brother were small, like when we were kids. And I remember, like, she had a photography class, and we were, like, she would shoot us, you know, photography, and, like, we went to class with her one day, and she's the reason, like, why, you know, like, I knew, I was like, I don't even know what college is, but this thing's pretty dope, and I'm gonna do this when I get older, so, but yeah, so she was a drug addict for 12, she was in and out of rehab for a very long time, like, 12 years, so she got clean when I was graduating from high school, like literally right when I was like turning 18, graduating, leaving for college. But like throughout high school, it was just rough, man. You know, like my grandmother retired early to take care of the five of us. And had she not done that, we more than likely would have ended up in the system in DCFS. They more than likely would have split us up because there were so many of us and my younger siblings were younger, you know, so...
Right.
She spent, I don't want to misquote this, but I know she spent like the majority, like a good chunk of her retirement money in 2 to 3 years just taking care of us. Wow. You know, like there were times, and I mean, we always had a roof over our heads, but there were some times that we almost didn't. There was times that we, you know, didn't have food. There were times like she would feed us and wouldn't eat. There were times we didn't have lights. There were times we didn't have hot water. There were times we didn't have gas. You know, it wasn't like a long periods of time, but it was enough to just kind of be like, oh my God, this sucks. You know,
yeah,
how like difficult it is as a teenage girl to like take a cold shower at 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, to get ready for school. And so it was just, you know, it was just rough sometimes. And then just that, now that I'm older, I mean, like when you're living your life at whatever stage you're in, you don't really have any perspective other than what you're living, but as an adult looking back, like, you know, that just on top of the, I don't know, the transition of like being a teenager and like, you know, being social and learning who you are and getting used to things, and you know, like that on top, like that was just a whole different type of stress.
Her mom would get clean for periods of time and then relapse. It was like this vicious cycle, she says. Then, Denise's senior year, this.
My younger sister passed away, like, the coming into the second semester of my senior year. We, around that time, like, we were moving, like, it was, there's a whole, this whole thing with mom, and, like, she was, it was just bad.
How did your sister pass away?
I have a younger brother, he just turned 13. She was his twin. They were born early. They were born at 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was in her 40s when she was pregnant with them, so it was a high-risk pregnancy. My sister was born...
Was she clean at the time?
No, she was not.
Oh.
The sister was born with Down syndrome.
Okay.
So she was born smaller than my brother. She had a hard time breathing. She was on a respirator, like, the entire span of her life that she did live. She, you know, so because she had Down syndrome, she was not growing at the rate that she should have been growing. They found, I can't remember what it was they found, but she had something and they needed to do surgery, but they needed her to reach a certain weight before they could do it so that her body could handle the anesthesia. So she was doing like really, really, really well for a while. Like she was gaining weight and she was growing and she was doing better. And then I was like, okay, they're like, great, we can get ready to do the surgery, in a couple days. And then like, maybe like 2 days before it was scheduled, they discovered she had developed an infection in her lungs. So she was sick, so they couldn't operate. I can't remember what it was that was wrong with her though, that it did in addition to,
it just sounds like there was a lot of complications.
Yeah, it was just a lot. Yeah. So, and she ended up, she passed away shortly after that, a few days, as she was like 6 months old. So, and it was crazy. I will never, it's just the craziest things that you remember. I will never forget. I came home from school, after school, my older brother, like he had like kind of moved out before, like he like didn't stay with us. And then sometimes he'd be there and sometimes he wouldn't be. We stayed in a two-bedroom apartment all the way on the fourth floor, and it was like a hike to get up there. And I remember just being like, I was tired. I had just come in. I'm like, you know, typical like teenage girl. You know, I just late because I was doing stuff for RTC. It was like 6 something in the evening, and you know, like my relationship with my brother at that particular point in time was a little bit strained, just because I felt like, dude, you just up and left us, like, you know. So I was working through that. And I came in and I was eating a bag of cheddar and sour cream ruffled chips. Like, I don't know why I remember that, but I was eating a bag of those chips and I leaned on the counter. I was like, we were in the kitchen. I was leaning on the, against the counter, and he was sitting in the chair at the table, and he's the one who broke the news to me. He was like, I have something to tell you. And I'm just like, I'm like annoyed. Like, oh my God, what? I have homework, you know? And he was like, we died today. And I don't, like, my whole world just stopped. It was just like, I remember I was mid like chip. I remember eating the chip and like I couldn't even chew, and I was just like, put the chips down, and I didn't eat them for a long time. Like, so took off school to, you know, bury her, and we went to like the pancake house and stuff. After that, we had our memorial for her the following Sunday. It was just hard. It was just sad. Like, it was like our life. It was just like one thing after another.
One thing after another on the home front. It was pretty much chaos. Despite that, though, Denise thrived in school. And by thrived, I mean she was going head to head with one other girl in her class to become the valedictorian. And the high school she went to, by the way, it's a huge place. So remember that man that she remembers seeing that first day freshman year, 4 years earlier? Well, he kept close tabs on her.
He's like my dad almost, you know.
He'd give her pep talks when things got really bad from time to time. And he'd also swoop in when no one else in her life would.
Things like, he's bought me uniform clothes. And I think one day, you know, it was my senior year, and I walked in the office and he's like, here you go. Like, it was just like 3 pairs of uniform pants and like 5 shirts. And I was just like, why? You know, like, why are you like, I in my life, like, no man ever, you know what I mean? Like, men don't do that. They're just absent. You know what I mean? And so I was like, why are you doing this? I'm like, you wasting your money on me and blah, blah, blah. And he sat down. I'll never forget this. He had a bottle of water on his desk, and he had a plant next to his desk. And this is like a nice desk, like a 200-pound freaking oak. And he was just like, he's like, it's not a waste. He's like, if I take this bottle of water and I pour it out, and he like is pouring this water all over his desk, papers and everything. And I'm like, oh my God, what is he doing? If I pour it out, it's just wasted. He's like, but if I take it and I pour it into this plant, it's an investment, because this plant is going to use this water to produce and grow. And he was like, that's what this is. This is an investment. He's like, I'm investing into you.
That investment paid off. Second semester senior year, Denise edged out the other girl and graduated valedictorian of her class. And she doesn't think she would have accomplished that if it weren't for his help.
Just like small moments like that just made the world of difference about how I felt about myself in the context of my circumstances. So yes, he played a huge role in, you know, just like motivating me and pushing me and in ways that I don't even think he realized that he did.
Not surprisingly, Denise went off to college, and she now works as the college and career counselor at another city high school. And she told me she loves her work. She's really passionate about being able to help students who are the same age as she was when things were so difficult in her life. Denise's mom still struggles with addiction. Almost every passenger that I asked to tell me a first day back to school story this week went back to their childhood or back to their teenage years. But I have one more passenger to introduce you to who evoked a whole different era in her response.
I had great images of myself succeeding in ways that I had sort of dreamed of when I was a young person, but never quite knew how to or found out how to bring to fruition.
My conversation with her in just a moment, but first, couple of words about the sponsors that are making it possible for me to bring you this podcast for free each week. And the first one is TrueCar, which I would highly recommend if you're in the market for a new or used car right now. And I speak from experience here. When my wife and I bought our Subaru, We use TrueCar because it lets you see what other people pay for the same car that you are looking for. And that way, you go into the dealership with confidence. You don't have to worry that you're going to get taken advantage of. And the other thing about it is this. Once you register with TrueCar and you configure the exact car that you're looking for, you will get actual pricing on an existing vehicle. That may sound like an obvious thing, but a lot of times people configure cars online only to later find out that that car doesn't actually exist at any dealerships close by. So TrueCar solves that. And again, you will see what other people wound up paying for that vehicle. So you have all the information you need. Plus, TrueCar users wind up saving on average $3,000 off MSRP. So when you are ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
Here at Pod.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
But for me, it was kind of like a do-over for undergrad. I really thought I sort of messed up undergrad. And so, again, I felt like, okay, I have a second chance to kind of do school right.
Forgot to get this woman's exact age, but she looked to be in her late 40s, early 50s. And I picked her up during Friday evening rush hour, and it was for a ride. It was in really bad traffic to a new apartment that she wanted to check out. It was right next to a gallery where she shows some of her artwork. This woman's most vivid first day back, she says it was the first day of grad school. When she was 30, she enrolled in a 3-year grad program in film and video.
What do you remember about the, if anything, about that very, very first day back in grad school?
I think I was probably a little too plucky, but that's fine.
What's plucky mean?
Man, I was just sort of like excited about everything. And, like, I was just talking in all the classes and raising my hand and being, like, positive and, like, jumping into all the demonstrations, which, okay, maybe that's fine, but I might have been a little too positive for everybody. I don't know.
Academically speaking, she said she didn't get a whole lot out of high school or college, even though in high school she was also almost the valedictorian of her class. She had all the opportunities in the world. She said her parents paid for her college, but she describes herself as still kind of lost at that point in terms of overall direction and wound up almost dropping out of college.
I had great images of myself succeeding in ways that I had sort of dreamed of when I was a young person, but never quite knew how to or found out how to bring to fruition.
About a decade after graduating from college, she says she was really eager to just sink her teeth completely into a subject that she actually cared about, which at that point had become film and video. So on the first day of grad school, she remembers having this feeling wash over her that she was finally among other similar people. These were classmates that she could hopefully be close with.
The assumptions that I had that first day was really carried out. Like, I became close to the people in my class and really learned a lot from them. So that was
almost
a really good first day.
Okay, so it felt like, or it feels to me like you had set a lot of intention prior to that first day, and you were ready to kind of like hit the ground running.
Yeah, I kind of, for me, and I don't know that I'd recommend this as a reason to go to grad school for anybody, but for me it was kind of like a do-over for undergrad. I really thought I sort of messed up undergrad. And so, again, I felt like, okay, I have a second chance to kind of do school right. So I really was very ready to take it seriously. So, yeah, I had a lot of intention.
Today, she is a successful video editor, and that is a direct result of her decision to go back to grad school. And she also does artwork of all kinds, murals, comics, and videos.
Looking back and looking to where I am now, I feel like I'm living what I have always wanted to do to a certain extent. And I have a lot more have a lot more sense of agency. Like, the person I was who knew that I was phoning it in high school, like, now I know what to do about it. And I've actually done something about it. So, and I still have, I mean, a whole lot of privilege that I'm coasting on, that's for sure. But I'm working on that, too, as far as, like, how to leverage that for, like, the greater good.
This week, we heard stories from elementary school all the way through grad school about the first day back. So now I'm curious to know, what is your most vivid first day back memory, and why do you think it stands out to you all these years later? I will be sharing my own story, which happens to be from kindergarten, in the Backseat Rider community on Facebook. And if you want to join up with us in there, we'd love to have you. This group is slowly approaching the 1,000 member milestone. And if you want to join us and share your story in there, just search Facebook groups for Backseat Rider, request to join, and a moderator will approve you. All right, everybody. Happy back to school. Good luck with the fall semester if you're a student or a parent. And that is going to do it for me for this week. One last quick reminder to please sign up for Lyft using my promo code. Again, it is Backseat Rider, all one word. It's for new users of the Lyft app. And that code is good for $50 in free ride credit. And using it really helps me keep this podcast going. Backseat Rider is edited by Bob Gilmartin and produced by me with the help of Louis Kazmarek. Also, thank you so much to WTTW and WTTW.com for their support of this podcast. Look for new episodes of Backseat Rider every Wednesday on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, and of course, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts. I'll see everybody next Wednesday.